Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
The birth of the first child, the adoption of the first child, those things made it abundantly clear that there was just a huge, big, gaping hole in objectivist theory and in libertarian theory.
When Jesus becomes the means to an end in my thinking and my theology, this turns Jesus from a person into a vitamin.
For getting up there to preach Christ and Him crucified and resurrected for the forgiveness of our sins, if that is truly why we're speaking, then Law and Gospel is how that happens.
Confessional Lutheran Deadheads, Love, Issues, etc.
Is it true what we've been reading in the paper? I just read it in the paper this morning that the Vatican, and this is a story of a couple days now, the Vatican is seriously considering, these bishops that are meeting for an extraordinary synod on the family are seriously considering changing how the church approaches the issue of human sexuality, in particular homosexuality, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered persons, and softening their position, their approach on same-sex marriage. Is that true? Now, they say that the Vatican has issued a report, and they quote parts of the report, and it sounds rather plausible, but at the same time, red flags ought to be flying when you read something like that, because the likelihood of this seems rather improbable. So is the media covering the extraordinary synod on the family being held at the Vatican, including bishops from all around the world, are they covering it accurately, or are they engaging in, if not just a little bit, maybe a lot of wishful thinking? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 15th of October. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Don Eden of GetReligion.org about media coverage of a draft document by the Vatican Synod on the Family for the first few minutes of the program. Pastor Jordan Cooper will join us for part four of our series on confessional documents of Calvinism. Today we'll talk about the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. How does it differ from the previous or the other confessional documents of Calvinism? We'll answer that question right off the bat with Jordan Cooper. Chris Roseborough will be our guest. Breaking news, as of a couple hours ago, in fact, Mark Driscoll, whom we have been following rather carefully along with Chris Roseborough, Mark Driscoll of Mars Hill, who's been in and out of the news for plagiarism charges of kind of fixing a bestsellers list, charges of things he said inappropriately throughout the course of his ministry there at Mars Hill in Seattle. He is resigning as head pastor and elder at Mars Hill. We'll get the story with Chris Roseborough, see what he thinks about that. Then Dr. Scott Murray will join us. We'll talk about a city attorney in Houston, Texas. They are subpoenaing sermons preached by local pastors opposed to an equal rights ordinance. They want to see, at least the headline says, they want to see if the pastors are criticizing a lesbian lawmaker there in Houston. We'll talk about that with Scott Murray, who is pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. You can join us over the next 2 hours with questions or comments. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet @issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, you can always join the conversation as well, even if you listen weeks from now. Questions, comments, ideas via the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about media coverage of the draft document recently issued by the Vatican Synod on the Family, Don Eden. She's a former member of the editorial staff for the New York Post and the Daily News, and she's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Don, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
How confident are you in what's being reported on this extraordinary synod on the family?
how confident am I in what's being reported with regard to reports that this is a great win for gay rights activists? Do you mean?
Yeah.
Well, as I wrote on GetReligion.org a couple of days ago when writing about the press coverage of this, basically the Vatican released its midterm report of the Synod, which is simply a report saying, here's what we discussed, here are some of the ideas that came up, and that will now be discussing further during the second half of the Synod. And the press ran with this as though it were an actual doctrinal statement that was definitive. Now, some people are pointing out that this is not necessarily the press's fault, that the Vatican had a big press conference to present this midterm report, and it really wasn't emphasized, perhaps strongly enough, at this conference that this is not a definitive document. It's descriptive of the dialogue that's been going on, but it's not prescriptive. The Vatican has since made that more clear. Now some people are saying, oh, the Vatican's backtracking. Well, whatever you call it, what's being clarified now is the fact that this document doesn't give state any changes to church doctrine. It's just a chronicle of things that some people, some bishops are saying at the synod, which is still taking place, that's still being discussed.
So what are we seeing in the popular media's treatment of this? Wishful thinking?
I would certainly call it wishful thinking. Yes, I think that there are a lot of people in the media. I mean, having worked for the Daily News and the New York Post, you know, I can tell you that the mainstream media in general is not a friendly place to people who follow Christian teaching that unmarried persons, whether they have opposite sex attraction or same sex attraction, should live in chastity. The mainstream media, just as it often doesn't get religion, it doesn't get chastity. So there was this great hope that by some of the language of this report, which seemed less condemnatory than past language that's come out of the church with regard to same-sex attraction, there was a hope among the media that this would signal a doctrinal change. And that's how the mainstream media played the story.
Give us some examples of how this is kind of being headlined, or at least, well, nowadays it's being treated by the news outlets, by CNN, BeliefNet, and others. Give us some examples of that, if you will.
Oh, well, you can see that CNN had a tweet. I'm looking at this on my post on GetReligion.org right now. CNN tweeted, "The Catholic Church should welcome and appreciate gays, a new Vatican report says," and then it has the link to the CNN story. And if you just see that tweet, well, what does welcome and appreciate gays mean? You know, to CNN, it means acceptance of the gay lifestyle, and that's how they played the story. The CNN Belief blog editors tweeted, "An earthquake, revolutionary, stunning, what people are saying about the Vatican's new report on LGBT people." Well, in fact, the report wasn't even on LGBT people. The report was on a synod about the family, and because part of the topic of family includes human sexuality, the report mentioned discussions with regard to how the church should do evangelical outreach towards people with same-sex attraction. But in the mainstream media's wishful thinking, this gets twisted into a report on LGBT people.
You also cite the Religion News Service story that doesn't actually get around to quoting anything substantive from this preliminary report until, what did you say, 17 paragraphs down?
Well, that's right, in the sense that that while the Religion News Service's article by Josephine McKenna, it begins with, you know, this hype saying, you know, the world's Catholic bishops on Monday signaled a move toward greater tolerance of gays and lesbians, and, you know, calls this an about face. And then it has all these quotes from, you know, gay rights, progressive advocates saying the church is changing. And then just 17 paragraphs down, they have a quote from a conservative. And even the quote from a conservative is just this cherry-picked quote, which is trying to make it seem like extreme conservative meanies are trying to rain on the parade of this tolerant synod. So it's a real, you know, twisting of what's going on through this lens of mainstream media wishful thinking.
So how does this couple together, and this is kind of a longer term story, how does this couple together with how the media has been covering Pope Francis?
Well, the media has been just obsessed with Pope Francis's comment, "Who am I to judge?" And as we've covered on Get Religion, and as I mentioned in this post of mine on the Synod, this "Who am I to judge?" comment itself was something that the media just took out of context. When Pope Francis said, "Who am I to judge?" he was asked whether there was a "quote unquote" gay lobby in the Vatican, and he said that there's no one he knows in the Vatican who has gay on their identity card, meaning that you know, in the Vatican, the understanding of gay identity as we have it here in the States isn't taken. They don't have the understanding because it's not a Catholic understanding. Our identity is not in our sexuality. Our identity is in our relationship to Christ as sons and daughters of God in Christ. And moreover, when Pope Francis said, "Who am I to judge?" he was saying if someone is gay and is sincerely seeking the Lord, which means penitence. Francis was saying this in terms of being repentant for sin. The Catholic Church doesn't teach that it's a sin to be attracted to people of the same sex. The Catholic Church teaches that the acts themselves are sinful, and the attraction is a disorder, just as any temptation to something sinful is a disorder. And if it's a disorder, then it means that it's part of the effects of original sin that we are to battle against, so that we might win the victory over sin and over sinful temptations that's been already won in Christ, that we might cooperate in that victory. So for the media to just present "Who am I to judge?" as Pope Francis, say, hanging out the "all are welcome" sign and not caring about sin is just very misleading.
You do give some high marks to Elizabeth Dias of Time magazine on her, as you say, her effort to understand the central theological issue here. What do you have to say about that?
Yes, I think that Elizabeth Dias did an important service because she basically called out her fellow journalists in the mainstream media, and she said, before rushing to conclusions, everyone on all sides should calm down. And then she explains what the document really is. As she put it, it's a snapshot of conversations. It's a starting point for the conversations during the second week of the Synod. And then she says what the document is not. She says it's not a proscriptive text, it's not a decree, it's not doctrine, and it's certainly not a doctrinal shift. It is also not final. So I think Diaz gave some very needed clarification.
There's also, and I want to return to this because you mentioned it before, there's also how the media is covering the conservative Catholic reaction to this. I was reading in the Fort Worth paper earlier today, I think Timothy Dolan was even called arch-conservative Bishop Timothy Dolan. How is their reaction being covered?
You know, usually when I see the word arch being applied to something like conservative in the media, it seems like the media really wants to say our arch enemy. that's how it comes out. I'm surprised that it actually said that about Dolan. Usually Burke's the one who gets labeled, Cardinal Burke is usually the one who gets labeled an arch conservative. You know, certainly in the case of Dolan, when Cardinal Dolan congratulated a football player for coming out, he wasn't called an arch conservative by the media. It was only when he was saying that this isn't a definitive document coming out from the Synod that he's an arch conservative.
Another twist in this, and this is kind of a little more inside baseball, but I think it's significant, and that is it sounds as though in the media coverage, at least the media is saying, that the African sector of the Catholic Church is not getting an adequate voice in this Synod, or they're being sidelined or ignored or something like that. What do you know about that?
Well, It does seem strange that there apparently were no African bishops on the small team who produced this midterm report. As to whether they're being sidelined in the Synod itself, I haven't heard that they're actually being sidelined in the Synod itself. But certainly the African bishops in general tend to be more of what the mainstream media would call conservative, in that they are concerned to protect the definition of marriage, the doctrinal understanding of marriage as being between one man and one woman, and they're concerned to defend the Church's teachings on chastity. They're fighting some of the same problems that we are in Africa, but also some different problems. They're fighting polygamy, and so they have to protect marriage against some tribal practices that are not Christian.
Finally, then, what needs to happen? What kind of questions need to be asked and answered by the media to kind of right the ship of, or right the course of the media ship on the extraordinary Synod on the family?
Well, the media always needs to be more careful to ask, what type of document is this coming from the Church? What level of authority does this document have? And a midterm report has zero authority. It's not a teaching document. It's simply like a sort of glorified transcript of what went on. So, you know, the most it can do is say, some people thought this. And, you know, in that sense, yes, it can, you know, give some people a little hope that if this is being discussed in this sort of language, then maybe it's a signal. But beyond that, it can't be taken as an actual teaching, and the media need to be a lot more careful in asking about and understanding levels of authority in Church documents.
Don Eden is a former member of the editorial staff for the New York Post and the Daily News and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Don, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks so much, Todd.
When we come back, Pastor Jordan Cooper will be our guest. We're going to continue our series on the confessional documents of Calvinism, talking about the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. Stay tuned.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
First Heating and Cooling is a third-generation, family-owned company and has been serving the Metro East for decades. Erst is a Lennox and Geocomfort geothermal dealer and services all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. Now is the time for your heating system checkup. Whether it's service or maintenance for your existing heating or cooling system or a whole new system, you need to call Erst Heating and Cooling. Call them at 618-633-2244 or ErnstHeating.com. Erst Heating and Cooling, Hamel, Illinois.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The Church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love a tree.
the 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.